This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The North American gray wolf, once hunted to near extinction, is back. This highly controversial predator has been rescued by an equally controversial law, the Endangered Species Act. The wolf's restoration in the Northern Rockies has been so successful that the Fish and Wildlife Service is moving to delist it, that is, end federal protection for the wolf, by taking it off the endangered species list. In Morning Edition's year-long series marking the 30th anniversary of the act, NPR's Elizabeth Arnold prepared this first of two reports.
Thigh deep in crusty snow, Yellowstone Wolf Project leader Doug Smith can't hide a smile as we bushwhack along Blacktail Creek.
We're in the middle of the Leopold Pack territory, and they are all over this country. In fact, they den a mile and a half that way. And so this area is a hub of wolf movement.
But that's not why Smith is smiling. He's measuring the brush, which is hard to get through, even for him.
I'm 6'2", and these willows are well over my head, and I did not think that we would see this response this quickly. And there are many stands across the northern tier of Yellowstone that are like this, and I didn't think that would happen. I didn't think we'd have the wolf population we had now.
Smith and other biologists believe the willows and wolves are linked. The last wolf was exterminated here in the 1930s. With no predator to fear, elk began wallowing in river bottoms, browsing on willow and aspen shoots, to the point where vegetation became seriously stunted. But 9 years ago, the Fish and Wildlife Service brought 31 gray wolves from Canada back to the park. Smith explains that putting the wolf back into the park forced elk to become more alert and head for the safety of higher ground.
So places like this, which are down in kind of a gully, have an obstructed view, and the elk can't see the oncoming wolves as easily. That makes them nervous. So they're spending less time in willow stands like this, and so the willows are growing much better.
As the willows returned, so did moose, beavers, mink, muskrats, and ducks, an ecological ripple effect. And that, says former Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt, is what the Endangered Species Act is all about.
A gray wolf in Yellowstone happens to be a particularly interesting example, because as the wolf comes back, the entire ecosystem responds.
The success of wolves in Yellowstone has eclipsed even the most optimistic of predictions. Technically, the act defines success species by species. And in the case of the wolf in the Northern Rockies, a population no longer threatened with extinction is defined as 30 pairs breeding for 3 years in three separate areas. That goal has been exceeded, and now the Fish and Wildlife Service is close to delisting, which Babbitt says is rare.
The best cases of recovery are where there has been a problem with shooting, trapping, poisoning, or overhunting or harvesting. But those are kind of the easy cases because the habitat is still there. And they've recovered very quickly. The case of the spotted owl and many of the migratory birds, the woodpecker, are more complex because they become endangered by elimination of habitat. And it takes a lot of time to restore habitat. I mean, it's a matter of decades, generations, even hundreds of years.
Only 38 species have been delisted since 1967. Another 1,260 are still listed as endangered. The wolf's recovery has been nothing short of extraordinary, and due in large part to Yellowstone National Park, where its natural habitat has been protected. You can now drive into Yellowstone's Lamar Valley, and you're likely to catch a glimpse of members of the Druid Peak Pack any day of the week. I did, and not only did I see them right from the road, I could hear them.
There's just no question that this is probably the best opportunity that there's ever been in the history of the world for watching wolves.
Rick McIntyre is legendary in the wolf-watching world.
Well, you might as well start coming back this way. You might want to be watching what we have here.
McIntyre has tracked and spotted Yellowstone wolves for 400 days straight without a break, arming teams of volunteers with two-way radios so as never to miss a beat.
Mark, did you say that he put his chin over her back? Mark says that he put his chin over her back. I think he's licking your face now. He's falling, she goes over.
This is really cutting edge in terms of research. Oftentimes we have wolf biologists come here from other parts of the world, and they're just blown away by what we see here on a daily basis.
McIntyre's wolf watchers can be seen at every pullout in the Lamar Valley, standing vigil in mukluks and parkas from first light till darkness, stamping their feet in the cold, peering through spotting scopes and keeping tabs on the pack.
I'm an anesthesiologist.
And I'm a medical technologist.
Carol and Mark Rickman drive some 500 miles from Pueblo, Colorado, every chance they get.
This is where we come. All our friends think we're nuts. This is where we spend all our free time. But
they don't even ask where we're going on for vacation anymore. They know we're coming out here.
Oh, here comes the other guys.
Today, they're keeping an eye on a fresh elk kill about 400 yards away. The wolves have fed on it and moved off, but a pair of coyotes is boldly scavenging the carcass, and the wolves have noticed.
There's going to be action here.
That one just noticed the wolves. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That was a classic look. He's like, whoa.
He's coming back.
Yeah.
He's heading up to the coyotes.
Yeah, way to the left.
You see that big gray?
Yeah. He's still chasing him on the left, way in the left, Chris. He's going to catch him. He is catching him. He's gaining on him.
Here he goes.
What's he trying to do?
Here come the other.
He's gaining. He's got him. He's done.
To date, for 100,000 visitors to Yellowstone, restoration of the wolf has meant a front row seat to something wild.
Wow, is that...
Wolf watching now vies with Old Faithful as a main attraction. But the success of these wolves also means they're technically no longer endangered. Once delisted, their management will be handed off to the states. The loss of federal protection is worrisome to wolf advocates like the Rickmans, who believe it's premature.
They're fairly well protected here in the park, but when they leave the park, it's a different story. And you get to know wolves out here personally, too, and you hear of some of them getting out of the park and getting into trouble or being shot, and it really hits home. And then the other thing, you know, we're from Colorado. We're hoping they work their way down there. And with the current plans that are set up, I don't think that will happen. And I really feel it's hard to say that you can take something off the endangered species list when they exist in just a small pocket.
Three small pockets, to be precise: Yellowstone Park, Central Idaho, and Northwestern Montana, which makes the corridors or rangeland in between all the more critical. Each wolf population depends on the other for survival in case of disease or mortality. But moving between the park, wilderness areas, and national forest, through sheep and cattle ranches, hayfields, and backyards, is where wolves get into trouble. They're easily distracted, and livestock is easy prey. Again, Doug Smith of the Wolf Recovery Project.
That's a lot of stuff to overcome. And wolves are hard. They generate tremendous controversy, and no one ever seems to back down from it. And that makes the future of wolves always questionable.
Only steps from the park's northeastern border in the town of Gardner, the bumper stickers on two pickups side by side frame the debate over delisting in simple terms. On the one, wolves roam free. On the other, shoot a wolf, save a rancher. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Yellowstone National Park.
Tomorrow, the gray wolf's future is not so secure outside park boundaries. Maps and photographs of wolves at Yellowstone are at npr.org.